I know I heard about the 24-karat gold-plated Wii made for the Queen of England, but today I learned that she wasn't allowed to receive it. It's a highly coveted console due literally to its precious metal, slightly limited playability since Wii's online services have been shut down, but was otherwise a relic of a successful machine with an ecosystem that is still rich. Like you would have to be to win the auction for it. Jeez! This is another sliver of THQ history. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you more about this story and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 913 of our show for tonight, May the 8th of 2022. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me, as he always does, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hey, Loki, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. What's new with you?
Not much, other than, you know, just Minecraft stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a new video to look forward to?
Yeah, and having bad luck with trying to find things to do today. Because I was trying to go rollerblading again, and like two of the rinks were closed. One was closed due to some speed skating competition. One just changed their hours. They were like, okay, let's go have pizza at this one place. That place was closed because I guess they were short-staffed. They were like, okay, let's go play mini golf. Then it started hailing. I was like, okay, I'm going home.
Oh, yeah, the weather was very strange today. It was very, like, I'm going to be sunny. No, I'm going to rain. No, I'm going to, because I was out walking, and that was an adventure, let me tell you. So, also joining us tonight, say hello to Dark Soccer or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
I wasn't sure if you were going to be here or not. I thought you were going to sit out, but that's all right. I'm glad to have you.
I was going to, but I figured I'll try. You know, headaches are weird. The moment that I took off my headset, like, it was instant feeling better. So I'll push through it. I'm medicated. I have drugs in my body.
Hooray. Always nice to have. Well, it's good to have the gang all together. I'm glad you're here. But if your migraine-y headache thing becomes too much, just let us know and we'll continue on. The show will continue.
I'll be here for at least the first story. I just want to, you know, hang out and be with everybody for a little bit. Just, you know, I missed last week and I don't want to miss too much of this week. I'd rather, you know, at least spend some time with everybody before I throw in the towel.
Makes sense. Well, great to see you. Sorry to hear you're not feeling well, but your makeup is great. I know you need to. If you're going to take the time to do your makeup, you got to gotta show up.
I'll tell you what, my makeup is pretty half-assed. I did it in 5 minutes.
All right.
And honestly, I'm actually still wearing my pajamas. I just put on a bra.
Well, see what you're missing? Not being here live, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwell Show at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. You can follow us along as we tape live on Sunday nights, and you can participate in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. But of course, if you want, you can also listen to our podcast. We're available at places like iTunes, Spotify, and wherever a fantastic podcast can be found. And there's a lot of love for you in the chat, Dark Sakura. DJ Rama S, in response to you talking about your dressing habits, say, this is why we stand, Jamie. Go Queen.
I'll be perfectly honest. This is also my work attire when I'm not in the office. Well,
I think, honestly, it's if I don't have to be on Zoom, I'm probably not even wearing a shirt, to be quite honest.
I've attended many an online training with my big fuzzy bathrobe. and no one bats an eye, because we're all doing it.
SJ100 Matt says, you do you, Jamie, feel better. Absolutely.
I appreciate that, and that's my intention. I just wanted to be on for a little bit, you know, say hi to everybody before I do a bow out. So.
All right. Well, let's get to our kickoff story tonight. It's a big one. In fact, actually, this news happened like right after OLR last week. It was interesting because it was kind of the middle of the night when this news broke. It actually was prime time in Europe. So it was Monday morning in Europe. So we heard about this at what, like 11 o'clock at night, because that's when the workday was starting over in Europe. Loki, you don't want to get into this? Big acquisition in the gaming industry, right?
Yeah, so the Embracer Group is purchasing Crystal Dynamics, Eidos Montreal, and Square Enix Montreal for $300 million, which is actually pretty cheap considering some of the acquisitions we've had recently. That includes, of course, several, you know, big IPs, of course, Tomb Raider, Deus Ex, Thief, Legacy of Kain, and of course, a back catalog of about 50 games.
Also takes Avengers with it too, doesn't it?
Sort of. Technically, the game is sort of there, but the license is really, and Disney licensed that to Square Enix. So technically, no, they would have to get permission from Disney to move that license. But
they'd have to buy the source code.
There's kind of question if it's worth it, I hate to say, because of the Avengers game not really performing at the level they were hoping.
It's a good game, though.
Yeah, you know, especially I hear it's in a pretty decent place at this point from where it was at launch, but it's just one of those things where for whatever reason, yeah, it didn't get us.
Did they also do Guardians of the Galaxy, or was that a different group?
No, that was
it wasn't Crystal D,
but it was Eidos.
Okay,
so it was Eidos, yeah.
So yeah, they technically get that game, but again, the IP intellectual property is still Disney's to dole out.
But I'm more referring to the code.
Yeah. So, well, the code for the game, I guess, technically would go to Embracer. But they can't do anything with it besides the game that's already out unless they go to Disney and renegotiate that, basically.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got stuff worked in their contracts and everything. But yeah, Guardians was a great game. I didn't get to play it because it won't run through Steam on my Mac. But I've watched the entire thing.
Yeah, Guardians seemed to be much better received than Avengers, at least at launch. Because I think what's interesting is that the bar was very high for Avengers. It didn't meet that bar. Well, for many, I should say. And I have no horse in this race. I am not huge on Marvel like a lot of people. I don't hate it by any means. I just it's there and I appreciate it. And I, you know, golf clap it. But I don't rabidly follow it or anything. I didn't see that new movie that came out this weekend.
I'm afraid to, because
most Marvel movies when they come out, I hear nothing but great things. This one, very polarizing, very polarizing.
The thing is that people have compared it to Drag Me to Hell, which I hate Drag Me to Hell with an unholy passion.
Gosh,
I love Sam Raimi movies. I hated that one. That was like one of the last movies I've walked out of. Just absolutely like, why the fuck did I waste my time?
I'm trying not to make these two movies fight, but I can't help it. I already saw the best multiverse movie of the year because I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once. So
I want to see that. Well, and my other thing is that I'm tired of the trope of woman in grief with lots of power goes crazy.
So
just a boring trope.
But anyway, where were we? Oh, yes. The bar for Avengers. High. For many people, not met. The bar for Guardians, low, because when those trailers and things were coming out, people were like, I don't know about this one, but exceeded expectations. It was this very kind of interesting thing, I think. I would say the bar for Guardians was set pretty low. People did not have high expectations for that game. And I don't know if that's like the Chris Pratt drama carrying over to the game, even though he has nothing to do with the game.
Well, that and Star-Lord is bi in the comics, which is awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, so my point is, yeah, the Guardians thing is also worth money. I would think Tomb Raider alone should have been worth a pretty penny. So Embracer absolutely got a steal. And if you don't know who Embracer is, they're basically THQ Nordic. It's a little more nuanced than that, but I'm just going to tell you the short version is they're THQ Nordic. And they've been buying a lot of stuff. I heard a great comparison on Bobby's show, who's, of course, we tape live after Bobby Blackwolf does here at Vogue Network. He called it the Tencent of Europe. And I think that's a very apt comparison, especially in the last couple of years. THQ Nordic's been, you may not realize this because you might think like THQ, because this company, they grabbed the THQ name. They're grabbing this. They grabbed Gearbox. They've been grabbing a lot of companies when you haven't been looking.
And so, some of the IPs they have, I mean, they have the Goat Simulator, they have Time Splitters, Borderlands,
Saints
Darksiders.
Row is going to be there. Yeah. So this is a pretty big holding now. And now, so this is this house that is now going to own.
Deus Ex.
Yeah. Tomb Raider and all these other things, which is wild. I cannot believe Square Enix sold it for as little as they did. why did Square Enix hate Tomb Raider so much? Like, and the reason why I say that is it all goes back to, we all know that quote that, you know, the president of Square Enix said that Tomb Raider did not meet expectations, even though it sold like 6 million copies. And I'm sorry, but the Tomb Raider reboot trilogy was fucking great. Like, it was, those were some good fucking games. And like,
Lara Croft and the No Good Very Bad Day.
Yes.
I like Alan's name for it. Girl. You remember, yes. I made that picture a while back.
Yeah, no, that's what my husband Alan calls it. He calls those games girl. that's what it is. You know, she hits a tree branch, girl. She dodges lightning bolts, girl. That's what it is.
She falls down a hole into a sewer, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tiger Claw in chat says Square Enix has unrealistic expectations. Fifth Dream in chat says, notice it's all their Western games, but all the J stuff is still at Square Enix. Yes.
Yeah.
That is,
but that
also
makes sense for them.
I mean, if we want to talk about unrealistic expectations, they think they're going to make money with NFTs. I mean, there's some unrealistic expectations.
And now there's that quote going around, is that we had to sell these this so that we could invest in the blockchain, which.
I hope they lose everything.
Gaming companies. I don't want them to lose everything. I need my Final Fantasy series, my Final Fantasy 14, my Final Fantasy 16, Yoshi P. I need to put him in a bubble. He's a precious angel. And for the gaming industry, I need those people protected. I don't want Square Enix to fail. Absolutely not. So I need this NFT thing to them to back off this whole thing, because again, I don't view, and I was talking about this a little bit on Bobby's show. I'll say it again. I view NFTs very similar to the Diablo 3 real money auction house. And I know that there are going to be nerds out there that want to correct me saying, well, actually, the difference between NFTs would that be NFTs are not centralized and Blizzard ultimately owned everything that was through the Diablo 3 auction house. Okay, yes, I get it. But here's the thing. A lot of people out there don't understand NFTs. And when they think of NFTs right now, they see those ugly fucking monkeys that are like what is that? The Yacht Ape Club or whatever those are? They are ugly.
Yeah.
They are ugly.
More to come on that.
Ugly fucking monkeys riddled with crime. That is what NFTs are right now. So if you want this to break into the mainstream, you've got to convince people what are the, you know, benefits to this. And I understand that a lot of it, to me feels like Amiibo. And yes, I understand Amiibos are not unique in nature, but you can load unique things to them. And Amiibo, and this is why I say Nintendo is going to be the one that pushes NFTs and gets it right. Because Amiibo, the reason why it works is, well, A, the figures are nice. B, they work in multiple games. And that's, you know, these thing, you know, if you can buy content that really truly works in multiple games, I think it's going to be great. But I think Nintendo is the only company that's got it all in one roof where people are going to eat it up. I don't think Square Enix, I mean, maybe with the Final Fantasy franchise, but I don't want them to see him. It just doesn't make sense for the Final Fantasy franchise. So Bobby Blackwolf, to be fair, saying NFTs technically do not have to be unique. They are just intended to be philosophically. Look, here's the thing. On one hand, I kind of get where the NFT technology is going. A decentralized Diablo 3 auction house where, let's say, the sword you get can actually work in all these other games too. I kind of get that. I just don't see that realistically working in our industry for a long time. And I think it's way too early to get into it when right now, when people hear NFT, they think of fucking crime. They think of spammers. They think of crime. They think of things to delete and send instantly to the trash can, because that's what it is on the internet right now. And if you're a crypto bro, I'm sorry. I'm telling it like it is. That is what most people, maybe your bubble doesn't view it that way, but most people out there don't get it. And I'm sorry, but those ugly fucking art pieces of art are not going to sell it to them. So that's my weekly NFT rant. So I don't understand why Square Enix thinks that they've got to get in this right now. I really don't. SG100 Matt says,
gotta get it on the ground floor.
SG100 Matt says, many hardcore NFT folk understand that at some point the market will drop out and all of these monkey and other stuff will be worth noting. It's all about cashing in now. Bobby Blackwell says, Square Enix's president says you are in the majority opinion, but you will change your mind soon. And Bobby, I'm willing to admit, I may change my mind. And this is a shock. But you know what's going to do it? It's not going to be a fucking ugly ass randomly clothed monkey. It's not going to be that. You know what's going to do it? Pokemon. That's when we're going to get into NFTs. And I know right now you don't want to hear me say it. You don't want to hear me even open up that realm of possibility, but I will bet money Nintendo is the only one that's going to make it happen, and when they make it happen, it happens. So that's my opinion. Bobby Blackwell says, yes, the goal for NFT people is for them not to be the last person holding the bag when the market crashes. That's why they really, really want you to get into it so they can sell you their NFTs. Hence the crime, the spam, and the no fucking thanks that goes along with all of that right now. So anyhow,
the thing is that they need to actually get the true pulse of the people. You can't create, and I'm saying create in quote fingers, you can't create something, put it out there, and if people don't want it, you can't force it on them. They're right. Not going to take something that's forced on them. I mean, and we know the loudness of our community, right? Mm-hmm. We know the forcefulness when people do not want, right? Mm-hmm. And we've seen what internet campaigns can do. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, that does jack shit. But in truth, major changes have happened because of it. You know, because of really upset people on the internet. And that's what they're not remembering, especially. And I mean, a lot of the Japanese companies, the successful ones, look outside of Japan. Mm-hmm. They look at the world pulse on it. They look at where the trends are worldwide, because, and not to be like, oh, America, blah, 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 but really a lot of the world changes. I mean, we are a big country with a lot of people. You know, you have to do a comparison between what's going on in Japan and America and Europe and find the commonalities. And they're not doing that. They're saying, oh, no, we think that this is going to be the big thing and we're going to make this happen. And it's not. It's not going to happen. They're going to lose money on this one. And they're going to say, why the hell did we sell Tomb Raider?
In 5 years, 2027, Nintendo's going to launch Nintendo Fun Tickets. And with Nintendo Fun Tickets, you can make a design and you can sell it, and it can be an Animal Crossing shirt. And it's also going to be a design that's on your Pokeballs in your inventory. And it's also going to be something that you can use in the background in Mario Maker. And it's also something that sits in your Smash Brothers trophy collection. And when Nintendo Fun Tickets happen, that's when it'll finally happen. But
I don't think Nintendo is going to do it.
They'll be last to the party for sure. But I'm just...
Nintendo has always been very conservative.
That's
right?
Very true. Yes, yes. But that's why I said when they finally get to the party, that's when it's, you know, happening. So,
and I don't think Nintendo is going to go to the party. I think Nintendo, as is their way, they're going to have a completely different party, and it's going to have the success, and everyone's going to go, well, why the hell did we not do that? It's like, because Nintendo looks outside the box, and they do have their, you know, I like to say that Nintendo has that ability to look around the corner. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To take a true peek around the corners where people are just looking in the straight line. They're looking at the wall. They're looking at the path around the wall, you know, straight ahead of them. But Nintendo's looking around to see, well, what's going to come in. I mean, we've always thought them to be very conservative in their approach to technology, you know, they've all, like, while their systems haven't been the most powerful in comparison, they've had the most fun, in my opinion, just in general. Their games focus on fun. Their peripherals
right.
focus on fun.
Right.
They focus on things that are enjoyable. And if they're not going to go the route of the NFT for those same reasons, that, you know, it may not be the fun that consumers are looking for. It's just money in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And we've even seen they've been willing to take a hit financially mm-hmm. to put out something that's going to be more fun. And in the end, it usually pays off for them. I'm not counting the Wii U.
You know, Reggie, and this is another reason why I'm saying, even though, yes, I know Nintendo is conservative and everything, this is one of the reasons there's two reasons why I'm saying Nintendo with this, because number one, I strongly believe Nintendo is the only gaming company I can think of, save for maybe Sony and Microsoft first party stuff. But I think Nintendo is stronger than both of those. Even Nintendo is the only company with a first party ecosystem strong enough to support the vision we're being promised of NFTs. I don't think any other company out there has the ecosystem of insular titles to support that system. It's not Square Enix, not after just selling off three of their, you know, big properties, but I digress. The other reason why I bring it up, Reggie's out there right now doing a big book promotional tour, and he's doing a lot of interviews to support the book. I understand Reggie has not represented Nintendo for several years now. However, he's been out there saying, yeah, I think blockchain's the future of the industry. I think, you know, we're not there yet, but I think that's something we're getting towards. Here's the thing. I know, yes, Reggie has nothing to do with Nintendo anymore. He does not speak for them. I get it. But was he speaking about it a couple years ago? Was this something that Nintendo, because, you know, these companies, they're looking far forward. Was it something that maybe they were, you know, he still has friends. He still has people he's talking to. I just think Nintendo, they know about it. Whether they're going to embrace it or not, they certainly know about it.
I think that they're going to have their own variant of the thing.
Yeah. Like I said, Nintendo Fun Tickets.
No, maybe not like that, but like, and I'll tell you, I actually ordered a game on Play Asia today and they take crypto.
Hmm.
I think that the concept is going to evolve into something more stable. Not this decentralized thing, but I think it's going to be some sort of hybrid. Something that can be tracked, something that can be regulated, but still allow a level of anonymity and personal control. You know, something like, you know, like in the movies, like in the future, oh, we pay X credits for something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's not physical money anymore. I think we're going to be down the line going to something like that, if that makes sense. And I think that we'll have a lot more digital property down the line. But I don't think it's going to be exactly the way that the NFT thing is going to be. And I actually agree with Fifth Dream in here. Decentralization, which is touted as its great feature, is the whole reason people kept getting ripped off.
Yes, I just looked at that comment too. I was like, yep, that's it.
They'll never do it. I'll tell you why they won't ever do it. Because Nintendo can't stand when their property decreases in value. And NFTs are going to decrease in value. They will never touch it.
No, they. I don't think that's the case, because they know that their amiibo are going to eventually decrease, except for those ones that are like misprints or limited prints. Those might be a different case.
And I do agree with Jamie in the sense that I don't think Nintendo would allow it to be completely decentralized. I think it'll be the illusion of decentralized.
And I also want to point out, if you look at history, right, you know, I'm going to go actually back to something I've brought up before, the whole labor reform in the U.S. Remember, those industries were basically privatized, decentralized. Owners had control over how the companies worked and what happened to their employees, what happened to their investors, you know. eventually they had to be regulated for the safety and well-being of the people in general, of society in general. And that's actually, I think, before too long, we're going to start seeing legislation to start regulating crypto.
Oh, it's already happening. Absolutely.
I know it's already happening, but history has been a teacher about what happens when there is no central regulation on an industry.
All right. I don't know how we got from the Square Enix stuff to NFT in-depth discussion, but it's a good one. So,
well, I mean, basically the whole reason of the sale was for their NFT market.
And I think
apt transition.
It is. And I think this is something we have to look at because we're hearing it from all angles. This is where the executives want this industry to go. And this is one of those things we have to look at it, whether we like it or not, and try to weigh like what parts of it will work and what parts of it won't work. And I think there's a lot that won't work.
What do you want to say that they're just trend hopping?
They don't know anything. A lot of these companies will jump on. They're like, ooh, blockchain, blockchain, blockchain. And it's like, okay, well, how are you going to use it? Blockchain. I mean, like, they don't even know what it is. Like, for example, the company I work for was like super. They're like, blockchain's the future. I'm like, how are you going to use it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like
what Bobby
shut up
just
then.
Said. Remember when VR was the future or 3D TV?
I do remember when VR was the future in 1996 when the Lawnmower Man came out. That was VR. Isn't it interesting that it probably took a good, 15 years, probably more, 15, 17 on a years after that whole, but when VRs were the future, it took 15 to 17 years for where now we have HTC Vive, Oculus, PlayStation VR, and VR is finally catching on a lot more, and in many ways, right. It's still pretty.
The
fringe.
Price point's too.
It's still
too
pretty
high.
Fringe in many ways.
When the price point comes down to where it's affordable, then it'll catch on more. Right now, the price to get into it is too high, but it's coming down.
I think at the point that it though becomes mass affordable, no one's going to care. It won't be the cool elite thing anymore.
It'll just be a computer, but it'll be a different type of way of interacting with things. And it also depends on like how to utilize it. Once again, you have Facebook. I'm not calling it a Meta. You have Facebook trying to like come up with this like metaverse thing. It's like, okay, well, what's that going to be for? I don't know. We just want to do it. So we changed our company to Meta. It's like, it's stupid. It's like, you don't know why you're doing
it.
Monetization is what they're doing.
They're also doing it for their reputation with all those studies that went on about how they're harming LGBTQIA youth, which is one of the big reasons why I quit using Facebook. They're trying to rebrand themselves. That's part of it. But, you know, there's a lot of good discussion here in chat. I mean, Ranma brings up a good one if you follow economic history. He said, I remember when trading foreign currencies was the big thing. Mm. I remember, you know, studying back in the 50s when people wanted to invest in gold bullion. You know, when everyone's like, oh, invest in gold, it's the thing. You know, what we're dealing with is a very, I'm going to say, mature topic that the younger gamer community isn't necessarily going to be too understanding of. But those of us who have studied history, those of us who are old enough to understand economics, at least to a decent extent, just because we've seen it and been exposed to it, we can compare where our gaming industry is crossing over with economy and compare those histories together. We can see those trends. The thing is that, and I call this executive insanity, that the moment that you go to the executive level, you're so focused on company goal that you stop seeing the big picture.
Oh, that's the problem only companies... in this industry. Bolded under you just said the biggest problem in the gaming industry.
The thing is that the companies that are going to be successful, and I'm going to even expand this into tech in general. I work in the tech industry, so I'm going to leave it at that. But the best companies in general, just in general, companies in general, are the ones who can see around the corners. And they're the ones who can see the big picture instead of looking in a straight line. They're going to pull in their analysts from outside sources. They're going to pull in people from diverse backgrounds. And they're going to have the people who say, well, this worked in this industry. This worked in this. I see the parallels here. Why don't we incorporate something new and different and look at this a different way instead of just doing what everybody the fuck else is doing?
And that's exactly why I think Microsoft, especially in the past 5 years, specifically the Xbox division, is in a place, and they're in a great place, and they are a much different company than the one we started talking about 20 years ago when the show started. I think because the guy at the top of Microsoft is a gamer who gets it.
Also, hire me.
All right.
I'm a really good consultant. I pay attention to shit. I may not have the background in it, but I pay attention to shit and you need me.
All right. Well, Dark Soccer, before you go prepare your resume, why don't we get into the next segment about how was your gaming week and what are the types of games that you have been playing this week? So, Dark Soccer, how was your gaming week?
I played some Dead by Daylight. I played badly because I honestly was just like bullshitting around, you know, trying different builds. I have a very nasty doctor build right now, which is called Fuck Your Gens. Oh, it includes, what did they change Mindbreaker to? Fearmonger?
Jolt. Oh, Fearmonger. Yeah, yeah.
It's the Scourge Hook one that causes your gens to pop.
Pain Resonance, yeah.
Yeah, not Pain Resonance, is it?
Yeah, Pain Resonance.
It was the Onryo one. Yeah. So, and then it was Merciless Storm, which when your gen is close to being done, you get continuous skill checks. And yeah, it's what was Jolt before Surge?
Yeah, something like that.
They
yeah.
just changed it from one caffeinated soda to the other. And then I play Doctor.
I saw a nasty build that combined that Onryo perk, the 90% Merciless Storm. It combined that with the Huntress's skill check one. That was disgusting.
Oh, Huntress's Lullaby?
That was disgusting.
Yeah. I don't have that unlocked on Doctor yet because I'm still working on getting everybody prestiged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm close to having Legion on their next prestige level. And the changes for Legion, oh, they're godly. I mean, I played like a potato, but I still had fun because, like, mixing their mixtapes.
Yeah, the chase music is so good now.
Like, I love it. Also, did you hear that they're changing Ghostface's music because everyone hates it? And there's the leak, the DBD leak right now.
I saw that apparently the next Killer and Survivor have leaked because they accidentally put it on the public test realm. And so somebody got it.
And on top of that, there also is information out that they're doing an expanded secondary Resident Evil chapter.
And so who's the new
that I
it's gonna bring in
survivors?
Ada Wong and Rebecca Chambers as a survivor and Wesker as a killer.
I knew it had to be Wesker. That's I didn't hear
that's,
that.
That's
one.
Supposed to be chapter 25.
That sounds like fanfic, but at the same time, God, do I want that? I would love to play.
That
as
came
Ada
from
Wong.
DBD leaks.
Wow.
And from the same person that leaked the Dredge stuff.
Wow.
And then chapter 26 is supposed to be an unknown survivor and a killer called the Knight. That's in KN. You know,
like Jousting.
Really should have been Nightman.
Well, the Dredge is the one that leaked for this upcoming chapter is a NIGHT powered thing. Like his whole thing is putting the survivors in total darkness and basically transporting around the map in lockers so that a survivor can open the locker and the killer's inside it. And that does sound pretty awesome, actually.
And on that PTV,
sorry, I guess we missed the joke. I was saying that you should have Night. Nightman, and then Charlie Day.
Oh, the Dayman. Yeah, okay. Gotcha. All right. Sorry, I'm slow to the party.
They also, on the PTB, there are new RuPaul's Drag Station. Sorry, RuPaul's Police Station, Raccoon City, that will have map variants the way Batum does.
Interesting.
Changing the layout of, like, and I'm looking at the picture. It's all, like, covered in the goo and littered, and there's like new assets listed on. It just means I should have downloaded. I usually keep updating the PTB so I can get the assets from it. That's actually how I have ripped everything from Hawkins while it was still in the game. Mm. But there's also just all kinds of stuff in there. And DBD Leaks has been very reliable. There's been a few times they've been off base, but they've been reliable about it. You know what I mean?
Can I say SJ100 Matt in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, so no Babadook. No, but Pride Month is next month. And so, you know, we already got the whole like, hey,
David's
guess what?
Gay.
David's gay. And here's the progress Pride flag. Introducing the Babadook as a killer would be a great Pride Month announcement, but I don't think it's happening.
Well,
sorry to say.
And I actually watched a really good interview where they said at Behavior that they work on something like another 6 to 10 chapters in advance, where they buy the IPs and start their work on it and incorporate feedback from the community. And so, I mean, and you see how well they work with some of the bigger streamers with the community. And I didn't mean to turn my gaming week into Dead by Daylight news, but this is pretty big stuff.
Yeah, no.
If you're into Dead by Daylight.
And I just want to say, I mean, like, even though the Babadook might be gay rights, like, nothing would scream gay rights in Dead by Daylight like adding Toni Collette from Hereditary as a character. So I'm just saying that because Toni Collette is gay rights. Just saying.
The thing is that, like, how would the killer be her son?
She'd be both a survivor and a killer, I think.
Well, there's also another thing going out. This is a rumor, mind.
Okay.
But you know how when Legion was supposed to come out, they were supposed to be, like, their original intent was to be a survivor disguise, where you didn't know that they were the killer.
Hmm.
And, of course, that didn't work.
Which is VHS's whole thing.
Yeah. Kind of.
Anyway.
But the other thing, though, is that there's rumor about having, a shape-shifting killer
mm-hmm.
that can disguise as one of the survivors in-game.
Interesting. That would be.
I think
freaky.
It would be an interesting mechanic,
yeah, it would.
But it's
it
still
would.
Like vague rumor at this point.
All right.
So, other games I played.
Yes.
I beat Seiken Densetsu 3.
Oh, congrats! I was watching your stream the other night, and you were stuck on this part for a bit, and you were getting really frustrated.
Yeah,
I think
it was.
You called it.
It was the mana sanctuary.
Uh-huh.
It's got some. They changed the pathing to get back to the mana tree for when the mana tree is dead. Sorry, spoiler for a 25-year-old game, but I got to it. I beat the game. I did screen caps of the ending. It was perfect. But I do have the poll up because I said I'm always going to do it in a poll, even though I'm positive that Terranigma is going to win. It's in the lead right now. There's like two more days left on the voting, and I'll put it in our chat.
I was going to say I have not seen your tweet, but I was hosting a show last night, so I missed a lot of Twitter stuff. But
there's 2 days left on it.
I'm going to vote in your poll right now for Terranigma.
Yeah. So here I'll go ahead and just paste it in chat. But at any rate, then that means the game after that I'm going to do is BS Zelda, the Stone Tablet Legend.
That's a deep dive.
So I have the thing for it. I've also played because I've been trying to get Saturn games that I own to run on my Mac. And so I played Dodonpachi for Sega Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And I played some Radiant Silver Gun. And I played X-Men Children of the Atom.
Nice.
So I've been getting my Saturn on.
All right.
I keep forgetting how hard Dodonpachi is because, I mean, it is a cave game, but I keep forgetting just because I like the Dodonpachi when it starts off, you know. And that's it. I'm still looking for a Hikaru emulator that will play Planet Harrier.
Let's go to Loki and your gaming week.
It's all been Minecraft, as usual.
No magic pen gel? No magic pen gel, like your background?
No magic pen gel. No, no. Sadly, I don't have a PlayStation 2 emulator on my PC. Although, I mean, I'm sure that'll run like crazy. I did get my Xbox Series X back, so I'm hopefully going to hook that up and be able to play something with it. What is it? I played more of my hardcore series this week, so I made good progress in that. Once again, recording too much footage for one episode. I had a struggle to get it down to just the 35 minutes that it was with that, which is disappointing because I had a really good ending I wanted to put in there, but I had like another 4 hours of footage to cram in there, so it's going to have to be two episodes. But yeah, I ended up going to, well, it'll be in the next episode. I went to the Nether and then immediately left the Nether because it was a horrible place and I don't want to go there. Because I'm playing with, you know, the 119 Skulk stuff everywhere. So in it, you set off these things that cause like darkness. It's almost like blindness in the game. And so, like, as soon as I stepped through the portal, like, it was still loading in the world and stuff. There's a gas shooting me. The darkness effect went off twice, which means as soon as I, like, moved one more time, the warden would spawn. And then I still had a gas. It shot the portal, broke the portal. And so I had to relight the portal real quickly and get back through. I was on fire at the same time. And then I got out. And mind you, this is in a hardcore world. So, like, I was 2.5 hearts away from dying. I don't know how I managed to survive, but I did. And I have it all on film, basically. So that'll be the end, possibly, to the next episode or, you know, somewhere in the middle. I haven't decided yet. I have to see how much footage I have, if I have enough for a full another episode again. But, yeah, it was intense. And also because I updated my world from the first experimental snapshot that they put out to the new one. The new one, I mean, obviously, they're beta snapshots. They're not done yet. The warden doesn't work quite right because he's spawning in daylight and he's not supposed to do that. And so it made it incredibly dangerous now, because before it used to be, okay, well, just don't get caught out in the dark and you can kind of go wherever you want and do stuff. Just be careful of the caves and that type of thing. Now it's like, you're dead everywhere you go. Like you're just in constant danger. So, that was a bit fun to demonstrate. But I made good progress in it, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's just I have to be careful because I play it a lot because it's fun, but then I end up with, like, so much footage. Like, the last time I played it, for example, was the first three episodes that
just
I put out.
Because giving yourself more work.
Because I had so much footage to go through. And it's fine. This is what brings in the views. I got my channel's up to 370 subscribers now.
Congrats.
And, you know, there's tons of people that come in for that series. So I'm obviously going to keep putting it out. But right now, you know, I've been working on stuff for Nerdcraft for the next episode. So, you know, kind of balance between those.
All right. My gaming week, honestly, so I had a show last night, so I haven't been gaming a lot this weekend, but it's mostly Final Fantasy 14. I wanted to do some streaming this week. I didn't get around to it because, honestly, like, I was kind of sick this week. Like, I just, yeah, I won't get into, not like cough sick, but like stomach sick. Yeah, it just really put me in a bad mood. I didn't really want to stream at all this week, but pretty much just playing more Final Fantasy 14. Like, I got my Sage to level 90, so I've maxed another job at 90, and I'm working on Dancer now, trying to get that up. So just pretty much my MMO crack is pretty much all I still play. And then, of course, lots of AR games.
As long as you're not a dancer in the dark.
No, I'm not. Pokemon Go and Ingress and Pikmin and all. Today, I forgot they were doing like a event day in Pikmin today. It's all about Carnage. It's not technically community day, but it's like because it's Mother's Day. So, you know, happy Mother's Day to all the moms and motherly figures out there. It's Carnations are the big thing in the game right now. So, yeah. So I'll get around to some other games this week. I actually want to try Guardians of the Galaxy for sure at some point. I still have Tunic. That like came out almost a month ago that I keep meaning to get into because everybody tells me it's like old school Zelda, which is like one of my favorites, and I got to get into
that. That's what they're saying, yeah.
Yeah, so I just, you know, too many games, never enough time, or when there is time, it's always just MMO crack. Or I guess I did play a little bit of Dead by Daylight, but only a little bit. Only I had some really crappy games, and I was like, forget it. All right.
Hey, before I forget,
what?
I've got a community thing going on right now where if, and I'll keep it up until I get the points for it, but I will play a Swift.
I thought, did I donate points for that? I hope I did. I think I did.
It's fine, but I might do it a little bit earlier. We'll see. But at this point, I am going to go ahead and say goodnight. I'll be in the chat, but my headset's hurting my head, so.
All right. Feel better.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
And I'm also not going to stream tonight, so, of course. So, everyone, as I tell people when I end my own streams, be kind to yourself, be kind to others, and go forth and conquer.
Sounds good. We'll try our best. All right, have a good night.
Later, taters.
All right, well, we will get into the news at this point, so let's get into our top headline for tonight. Loki.
Yeah, so let's talk more about how Activision sucks and is being sued by more people. So there's been a complaint filed in Delaware asking to see the financials of Activision Blizzard. And also New York City is now suing Activision Blizzard as well. Apparently, this is because of the... They're saying was it the fair... It kind of goes along, I think, with the Fair Employment and Housing suit that they had. But... this is so long. Basically, I think just trying to... With the announced merger, they said, they're... Kotick will be able to escape liability and accountability entirely and will instead continue to serve as executive after the merger closes. Worse, despite his potential liability for breaches for fiduciary duty, the company's board allowed Kotick himself to negotiate the transaction with Microsoft. The board's decision to entrust Kotick with the negotiation process is inexcusable. And for the additional reason that Kotick stands to personally receive substantial material benefits whose value is not directly aligned with the merger's price. Basically, they're filing the suit because he is going to make out like a bandit in this whole merger thing if it goes through. And people are not happy with that considering that he is kind of the bane
of all
these problems.
Good job, New York City, because fuck Bobby Kotick. He should not get a goddamn thing. From what he's done to that company, he's already taken too much. He should pay him back, to be quite honest. We know that's never going to happen. So good job, New York City. Get her, Jade. That's what I say. I'm not opposed to Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard because I know it eventually will get Bobby Kotick out of the picture and it'll be in a better place. So this is not an anti-Microsoft cheer. This is 100% an anti-Bobby Kotick. And no, he shouldn't get a goddamn thing cheer. So, also, Dijaram S. says, this is why you don't fuck with NYC. Well, I thought this was a very similar thing, too. I think there were some states that were looking into this. And essentially, it's because governments invest in companies. Because a lot of their financial holdings, like pension plans, basically pensions for city employees in New York City, as well as state employees in places like California, you know, you name it. These pension plans invest in companies to stay financially sound to be able to pay out these pensions later. When these companies do dumb things like promising a payout to an executive who doesn't fucking deserve it, some of these cities and states look at it as that's money that essentially could be in our pensions. Not directly, but it's money that the company is paying out that they shouldn't have to, and it damages the value of the company. So that's why essentially they – at least we know we've had some states – that have done that previously. So, Bonds 006 says New York State Attorney General, she is on her game. Yes. So props, honestly. I'm glad that Bobby Kotick's starting to feel the heat a little more, because that board sure as fuck didn't hold him accountable. And it's really annoying because that board over at Activision Blizzard is just as guilty as he is, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Get rid of them all. Get rid of them all. Take them out back and buy them tea, because I wouldn't say anything else on this show. Buy them tea and then tell them to leave. All right, let's move on.
All right.
Let's talk about, I got it. Let's talk about Summer Games Fest. So Summer Game Fest is, I always say games because there's more than one game, but it is called Summer Game Fest. Anyway, Summer Game Fest Live will be kicking off on June 9th, 2022 at 2 o'clock Eastern. So that's 11 o'clock West Coast time, our time. And this is going to be a big, this is the big Jeff Keighley show where there'll be a multitude of different game studios unveiling. This whole Embracer thing we were talking about earlier in the show, THQ Nordic, they don't do their own press event. So this is a great place to see some of that as an example, and many other places throughout the industry as well. What I think is interesting about this, this is when E3 would have been. This is exactly when E3 would have been.
Well, yeah, and they probably originally timed it to be around when E3 was supposed to be.
Yes,
and it just
because
so happens, but,
the digital E3 year, which was last year, it was also timed right around the E3 stuff. So that part I'm, it is interesting how I think after E3 kind of said not this year, and Jeff Keighley is, you can see he wants it. He's foaming at that. He wants control of that E3.
That's mine.
And honestly, speaking of it, I mean, we're just going across the realm of incompetent people in the industry tonight. And the ESA, right up there. I mean, right up there with them. So
yeah,
as far
this
as I'm
year,
concerned,
the ESA
Jeff
is gonna
have it.
They're going to send us another email this year saying, hey, we leaked all your information. Hey, we know there wasn't even an E3 this year. That's why we're stepping up our game to leak your information on a year that we're not even having E3. So
we are a tech organization representing the entire industry, and we don't have security.
We're a very fluid company, and all those leaks just flow out of our company and all that data so that everybody can see it. We believe in transparency.
But our Alexa rankings that we judge websites and media corporations on, our Alexa rankings are secure and trustworthy. Anyway. Where were we? Oh, yes. World premiere. Jeff's favorite phrase in the world. World premiere. World premiere. World premiere. That's going to be all over Summer Games Fest. Trailers, news, updates for games as well, because I'm sure you want to know the latest and greatest.
Can't wait for that Saints Row delay.
When updates, I'm saying you want to hear the latest and greatest for like Death Stranding and, you know, what Kojima's next. Ooh, do you think? Because Jeff Keighley is absolutely in bed, metaphorically, with Hideo Kojima. Do you think Kojima's next title, which is rumored to be the scary game, whether it's Silent Hill or not, do you think Summer Game Fest?
What's called? That should be the
that's
what's
the,
called.
The scary game. Kojima scary presents game. The scary game. Yeah, why not? I like games just saying what they are. Like, let's just put it out there. You know what game this is? The scary game. So that would be fun. Also, what I think is interesting with this, you will be able to watch this in IMAX theaters. So you can stream it in the comfort of your own home for free, or you can go catch COVID at your local IMAX theater. Hopefully it's not that dramatic, but why would you go to the theater when you could just watch it? I don't know. There is something to be said about IMAX and seeing something on the big screen, you know, that whole presentation. For example, last night we were doing The Lost Boys from the 80s on the big screen. And I'd never gotten to see that movie on the big screen. So getting to see that on the big screen, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. So anyway, various IMAX locations in the US, Canada, and the UK. Probably nothing near us, though, Loki, unless we want to go to the Metreon in San Francisco. I'm going to just guess.
Oh, that's not true. They've had it in the past when they've done like the PlayStation stuff. They've been at most of the IMAXs because it's just a they just beam it in, you know, it's a satellite feed that they basically just, you know, probably not even a satellite at this point, just internet feed that they just stream in.
Let's see. Bobby Blackwell says Jeff should take it to the next level and give out awards at Summer Game Fest. I mean, why not? Why not do a more community-based award show with some of those things he wants to do? Why not do that show in the summer and then the industry show in the winter? Like, you're joking, but like, actually, there could be a lot of good stuff by splitting that up a little bit. Anyway. All right. Let's move on to our next story. You want to take this one, Loki?
Yeah,
I think this is fun. So I've been sent this article a lot this week.
The Video Games Hall of Fame has announced their new inductees for this year, and it's very exciting because it's a lot of games that are near and dear to our heart. For example, we've got The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, Sid Meier's Civilization.
Literally my all-time favorite PC game. Literally my all-time favorite PC game. Very happy.
Ms. Pac-Man, which I like how it's represented by a TV plug-and-play thing. that's hilarious.
The machine was a little large for the picture.
Yeah, and then, of course, Dance Dance Revolution. It's getting its due, finally.
Mm-hmm. Which, of course, I think most people out there know the history of this show, but if you don't, Orange Lounge Radio started 20 years ago because Loki, Dark Sakura, and myself all met at a local arcade playing Dance Dance Revolution. And for the first 2-3 years of our show, if you think Dark Sakura talks a lot about Dead by Daylight, you should see how much we talked about DDR for years. And then finally, Konami kind of like stopped releasing. There's a whole other thing I could get into about how Konami of Japan were idiots and didn't want to take risk of releasing new DDR games out here. And it's only because of one person at Konami over here that we ever got it in the US. But anyway, I digress. We just went so long without content. It was like, well, I guess we should talk about other video games too, because there's no new DDR. But it's really exciting to see DDR getting its due and, you know, what it's had, the effect that it's had on the gaming industry. Because if you think about it, you know, it's much more than that machine that's bopping cheesy Eurodance tunes. But DDR made its way into school gymnasiums. Like, we have to remember, people of a certain age, like you and I, Loki, when it was the winter time in physical education, we used to do square dancing, right? I don't know about your school, but that was the thing, is that during the rainy season, we do square dancing inside the gym because we couldn't go outside and play because it was raining all the time. Was that what they did at your school too?
Yes, we did square. I think they did square dancing, and then like, I think there was other types of dancing that they did as well. Like I don't know if they did like salsa, not ballroom, but like maybe salsa or something. I don't know. It was other types. It wasn't just square dancing. But yes, I remember square dancing.
But the point I'm getting to, and I think y'all know where I'm going with this, is that now for kids today, there's a lot of schools where winter phys ed is that DDR school edition, where like you do Dance Dance Revolution as a class. And that whole day, which is mind blowing to me. That's where we're at now. So DDR, you know, became a much bigger thing. It became like a physical ed thing. And, you know, obviously DDR is still in the industry. We know there's DDR Ace and, you know, in the arcade and, you know, those are still coming out. I still, you know, in you Bamani loyalist to this day, I love you. And you're going to hate me for saying this. That's still a very niche thing. And it's only niche because Konami doesn't care about home entertainment anymore and doesn't care in releasing peripherals and releasing any of that in the home. So you have to go to a Round One or a Dave and Buster's to find that stuff. And people just don't go there every day, you know? So
still waiting with bated breath for our Round One to open up at some point. The theater's open.
Early June was last I heard. Yeah.
It's getting pushed back.
I know, technically spring. So. Anyway, but DDR has had a lasting impact beyond just the machine. You know, you, me, and Dark Soccer all played years and years ago, and the multiple mixes as a result of that. Like, DDR became physical education activity, like, you know, teaching tool in that regard. So it absolutely earned its place in the Hall of Fame, for sure. But it's also wild to think about, God, that game came out originally in 1998. This show, 20 years old, started about DDR.
Yep.
Ooh. You know what's funny? Just announced tonight on the show prior to us, Bobby Blackwolf is going to be doing announcing again for Summer Games Done Quick, which is awesome. Congratulations, Bobby.
Nice.
But it's the first time he's doing it in person because Summer Games Done Quick is good, or, you know, the awesome.
That's
going
to be exciting.
It's going to be in person again. So he gets to go out to Minneapolis for an entire week to do it. Well, because of when it's timed, guess what? He's not going to be here June 26, my birthday, and the same night that happens to be pretty much OLR. Technically, the birthday is on June 23rd, but the 26th will be the closest show to that day. So he's going to miss OLR's 20th anniversary. Luckily, we all love Games Done Quick here and think it's an outstandingly worthy cause. So I'm not that pressed about it. I get it, but I just think it's funny. So. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Something not as funny. Well, it depends on your sense of humor. Maybe it is funny.
Yeah. So the Prince of Persia remake is having some issues. So it's been delayed quite a bit. They originally estimated to come out January 2021. And I didn't even remember that it was supposed to come out then. And right now it's changing studios again. So, yeah, they put out the Prince of Persia Twitter put out an update on development of Prince of Persia, the Sands of Time remake. And, of course, they went over what was going on there. It says, development of Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake will now be led by Ubisoft Montreal. The decision is important, important step, and the team building upon the work achieved by Ubisoft, was it Pune? I don't really understand how they pronounce that, and Ubisoft Mumbai. And now they will take the time they need to regroup and on the scope of the game and deliver you the best experience. So, yeah, it's going to take more time. I honestly forgot that this was coming out. Be honest. I don't know.
I forgot it was coming out too. I just assumed it had come out and nobody noticed or something like that.
I mean, that's neat, I guess, that they're still working on it. I mean, all right, cool. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, maybe I'll check it out when it actually comes out, if it's serviceable. I mean, it sounds like the game has a lot of issues, but maybe, you know, at least they're taking the time to fix them and they're not releasing a product that's broken. So there is that. SG100 Matt in chat says, I forgot this was being worked on. I wouldn't be shocked if it's canned at some point. Well, they're sticking to it for some reason.
They're sticking to it like they're sticking to that Beyond Good and Evil sequel, right?
Oh, God. Speaking about things I forgot about. That's right. That was supposed to be a thing, wasn't it? All right.
Yeah, that was announced way before Prince of Persia. So, you know.
Yeah.
All right. But you know what sequel we're going to get a lot sooner than that? More of them not denouncing all of the sexual harassment and bigotry that's going on in their company. We're getting plenty of sequels for that where they just don't denounce that. So look forward to that very soon. Maybe a trailer, a world exclusive trailer at Summer Games Fest.
Ouch, because it's true. All right, moving on to the next topic. I don't know why we're talking about Roblox, but we are because
it's the biggest game in the world.
Yeah, that's true. God, we have one I just don't really follow. But yes, you're right.
Love it.
I know. And it's, you know,
they're making their own
Fortnite
stuff in there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now another company that is teaming up with Roblox is Spotify. So yes, there is a new space in Roblox called Spotify Island, where you can create music, chill in a virtual venue, and get exclusive virtual merchandise. And it's out now. It looks very green, just like the Spotify logo. There's icons that are consistent with the apps and so forth. You can also collect like icons for free merch. Also, artists will have the chance to connect with fans as a way to earn money. A portion of the sales will go to artists, although they're not saying how much that is and what acts are really being collaborated with, but there's supposedly that's in process. You know, we're available on Spotify as a podcast. Where's our island? Are we on Spotify Island? That's what I need to know. Can you listen to OLR on Spotify Island?
I don't know.
Or can you only listen to Joe Rogan? Because
that's what kids need to connect with, the Joe Rogan experience. Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, I had a hairball. Apparently, the virtual world is full of Easter eggs you can find along the way. Also, you can do music and sounds with a beatmaker station. It's powered by Soundtrap. Spotify bought them in 2017. So if you want to see what they used it for, there you go. The first themed experience will be debuting in a few weeks. It's called K-Park, and it's all about K-pop. So you can interact with Stray Kids and Soonmi. And that won't be the last. So I can't wait for all the K-pop stans to just flood.
I'm glad that's the name K-pop of a band and not just actual Stray Kids. So you wouldn't necessarily want to enter.
Well, all right, let's see. Bonds 006 says, upon hearing this news, looks at Sony and home, and Sony Music and the other labels they have. Yeah, right? Like, Sony could have had this.
They're late to the party. Sony, I mean, honestly, like, this is basically, like, this and what they're doing, like, in Fortnite kind of is more metaverse than the metaverse stuff. I mean, honestly, I mean, this is what they kind of wanted, is this whole thing where they can have spaces that you can create and interact with different things and monetize the crap out of it. And so here we are. I mean, Sony was doing that with Home. I mean, mm-hmm. they probably would if they, you know, they could have had a Spotify place that you could have gone and visited in Home.
If they had thought to involve K-pop, because I'll tell you what, K-pop stands are the scariest stands on the internet, and they're going to flock to it. As 200 Matt says, K-pop stands will break the network. 100%. 100%. Let's move on to our next story.
Yes. So apparently NFT is still bad. There's folks that are fans, I guess, of the Bored Ape Yacht Club who are trying to buy video game land. This is with the Other Deed collection, where they can basically claim land in, I guess, a space called the Other Side. And they say it's a play-to-earn gaming project that's supported by their new crypto token, ApeCoin. Because, of course, they have to have a token on top of their NFTs and stuff, because why not? Definitely not going to be a rug pull, because that's not what any of these are ever. But apparently, though, there's... Other Side was intended to launch in April, but hasn't really come out yet. And based on that, there's been, you know, basically this is a big scam, I guess. Yeah, the other deed sale, they said, which launched at the end of April, which includes Yuga Labs, which is the company, I guess, the largest NFT mint in history. I think they're the ones behind the Bored Ape Yacht Club. And... yeah, apparently they've had an issue with a lot of failed transactions. They said due to the incredible demand being forced through the Ethereum's bottleneck. For those affected, we appreciate your willingness to build alongside us. But know that we've got your back and we'll be refunding your gas. So apparently what's happening, I think, is that they're paying money to buy these tokens, but the transaction's failing, but they're not getting their money back, type of thing.
And I don't want to just repeat the conversation we had earlier in the show, but as long as this is representative of what NFTs are, they are never, period, bolded, underlined, italicized. I will own that comment. They will never be successful as long as this is what's representing NFT. These games that they're coming up with to like force NFT to happen, force fetch to happen in these games, not going to happen, kids. Not going to happen. You got to figure out a way to make it work with something that already exists out there.
Yeah, so the other thing too is earlier this week, actually on the 4th, the Yuga Labs had announced that they'd refunded everyone's gas fees, that everyone that had failed transactions. However, lots of folks still haven't received a refund. And on top of that, there's also someone create a fake Other Side website that conned some of the NFT holders out of more NFTs, again, losing $6.2 million worth of NFTs. Once again, it's like when you ever hear an NFT story, it's always either a rug pull scam or someone's stealing them via like some sort of you know, malware or just, you know, your old school kind of phishing scam to try to get that kind of stuff. So I don't know.
What a fucking mess. That's all we have to say. Next up. Next topic.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, with a lot of these big acquisitions, you know, there are going to be some, you know, regulatory bodies looking into them. So the FTC is actually investigating Sony's proposed Bungie acquisition. They're saying that it's, you know, they're looking to make sure that, I guess, it's not going to be more, I don't really know, like anti-competitive. I'm surprised they're looking at that, not necessarily the Activision Blizzard one, because I think that the Bungie one is much smaller scale than Activision Blizzard, but I haven't heard that they're looking into that, but I would assume that they should if they aren't already. So yeah, I think that's pretty par for the course, though, that they would look into, you know, acquisitions like that. But we'll see if that,
yeah,
you know, if they give their blessing or not.
I don't think this is as big of a deal as like the gaming media. I mean, it's a clickbait headline in this case. I really don't think this is. Of course, they're going to investigate it with as big of a like you just said. It's such a huge transaction that of course they're going to investigate it. And I don't think this should be concerning. I feel like what gaming journalism in some ways is trying to do is like try to equate this to the Microsoft Activision Blizzard merger and all the problems that are going on there. That is apples to oranges, people.
Right. And I don't think that they've necessarily done that yet. And speaking of Microsoft, I mean, they did investigate the acquisition of Bethesda back when they did that in, was that 2021?
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like unheard of that they do this. And I would imagine that the same thing's going to happen with the Activision acquisition, although we don't know, like, that's probably still later on down the line. Like, they haven't really merged yet, or I don't think they're at that point where they're investigated yet. Maybe because of all the crazy stuff going on with Activision, but I'm sure it will happen. I'm sure they'll look at it. They're not going to be like, oh, we're going to investigate this $3 billion one, but the other one, the $70 billion one, that one's cool.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next story and talk about this. This is interesting. So Fortnite is now available on xCloud Gaming, which is Xbox's powered Microsoft's cloud service, right? But what's interesting about this is that this has basically created a way now to play Fortnite on an iPhone again. Because
checkmate, Apple.
What's that?
I said checkmate,
well,
Apple.
I'll get to that. So Epic Games basically has now made, you know, Fortnite available on the iPhone again because of the xCloud partnership. Because you can do xCloud on the web, even on a mobile device. So you can do that. So of course Tim Sweeney goes and writes a tweet and says, well, Fortnite's now available without the Apple tax. I'm summarizing that tweet. I don't remember the exact tweet, but he's basically trying to say, now you can do Fortnite and there's no Apple tax. But I'm looking at that going, what about the Microsoft tax? Because it's still running on xCloud. And as far as I know, Microsoft, Sony, they all charge 30% as well. Now, maybe the difference is it has to do with that whole thing where Apple was very mad about the back door and all that stuff, and they didn't want to have a way to buy them on the web. And maybe Microsoft is allowing that, I guess. But yeah, so this is interesting how that's happened. So, but yeah, so Fortnite's now available to play on all those devices if you want. But technically, the headline is, Fortnite is now on Xbox Cloud Gaming. It just has this interesting side effect of now Tim Sweeney is hyping it up as, oh, we're back on this. So it's interesting. So, all right. So now this is the part of the show where things are going to get very interesting here. But I'll explain here in a minute because we have a segment to do. So let's roll the bumper.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
So, here's the problem. Dark Soccer had picked a game. I don't know anything about it. And I wouldn't want to do a game she picked anyway, because it's her game to talk about and her memories, not mine, especially when I don't know the game. So we haven't really had notice or time to prepare. So I had to pull something literally out of the blue. However, I checked the wiki and this game has not been done before, believe it or not. So, Loki, you're going to help me with tonight's classic game of the week, because, and I can't tell you why I was inspired to pick this game, but the classic game of the week tonight is, let me get it up here. Magic Pengel. It's the classic game of the week. So, And well, it's funny because I was like, surely we did this as a classic game at some point, because
I thought we did.
I thought we did too, but I am on the wiki right now. I'm looking at it and I just did a control find. I'm like, magic. Okay, there was Magical Night Dreams and magic. Nope, no magic. That's why you just heard that floop, because it can't find a search for it. So there is no magic pen gel. It's not there. We just talk about it on the show an awful lot. So there you go. So, but we can talk about magic pen gel now. So let's talk about this. And yeah, Darkstalker in chat says, damn, it's old enough. Yeah, oh, and she said, I could have done the other game. I didn't know anything about that game, Darkstalker. I didn't want to do it. This
yeah,
one,
I don't
at least
know if
Graffiti
Kingdom
I've at least
was on there.
played this game before. Yes, this game is old enough. It came out in North America June 24th, 2003. So this game is damn near 20 years old. It actually came out in Japan March 20th, 2002. So in Japan, it's over 20 years old at this point. Okay, it's called Magic Pen Gel, The Quest for Color. Its original name, Garakuta Meisaku Geijo Rakugaki Okoku, is the original name of the game. It's a role-playing game that was developed by Garakuta Studio and Taito for the PlayStation 2. Here in North America, it was published by Age Tech. Apparently, Studio Ghibli was involved in this game because the musical compositions in the game were done by Zuntada. So there was also a sequel for the game that came later called Graffiti Kingdom, but we're not talking about that tonight. Basically, what is this game? It's Pokemon meets Mario Paint. That's what it is. You create your own little creatures in a in-game drawing system that actually worked pretty well to basically do a version of Pokemon. The pen gels are with it, so they're not called Pokemon. They're called, the pen gel is a little pen fairy thing that creates the doodles. So the doodles are actually little Pokemon. And so you sketch out what the body looks like and you have a certain amount of magic energy. So like the ink isn't unlimited. You have a certain amount of it. And you do these battles with the custom created design. You trade with other players. You know, it's interesting with this whole discussion about NFT tonight. These magic pen gels could be NFTs, essentially.
Yeah, it's like our horrible 2DX controller that we used to fight as.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We drew like a 2DX controller this game was. Well, Loki, why don't you talk about some of your memories with this game? Because you played this more than I did, really.
So it was fun because you did get to draw whatever you wanted in there. And based on the colors that you used, you'd have different abilities. So I think like they have like, you know, magic abilities or physical attack and stuff like that. It would depend on like the ink colors or paint colors you got. And I think you would unlock more as you went along. So of course, you know, we had I think we had a 2DX controller that we made. There was just one that was just a big like box. It was just like a big blue box thing.
Mm-hmm. And of course, and the chat room is lighting up going penis, 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 penis. Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm
oh,
pretty
come
sure.
On.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, of course we did that.
Worldwide audience here on Twitch. Oh, come on. Of course, drawing a gigantic penis and balls was like one of the first monsters created in this game. Everybody does it. Come on.
It was fantastic. Yes. Such a glorious game.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm surprised this game wasn't called Magic Penis, because that's what everybody made for their doodles.
It was great, though. Like, the thing about Graffiti Kingdom, though, is a little bit different. So, like, this game is more of a traditional kind of, like, RPG. Like, you, like, would battle and stuff, and they had, like, turn-based battles. Whereas I think Graffiti Kingdom was more of a, like, an action RPG type thing. You would just kind of, like, roam the world and do different things. I never actually played Graffiti Kingdom, but yeah, this game was pretty fun.
It was. The drawing technology in the game was based on Takeo Igarashi's Teddy software, and I'm not sure what else that was used in, but apparently it is a sketching interface for 3D design, so it was kind of based on something that was already out there, which I think is very interesting. On the reception to this game, it was average, pretty much, you know, a lot of 7 and 8s around the board, C plus, things like that. Famitsu gave it a 32 out of 40. So for Famitsu, you know, not bad. especially in those years. Now they hand out 40s like they're nothing. But back then, that was still something. In a review by IGN, it was noted that the monster creation system lives up to a potential for creating unique-looking creatures and providing gameplay depth, different body parts, colors, and sizes, affected abilities, and statistics in battle. Yeah, that was – I always thought that was really interesting, too. Even if at the end of the day they're saying it was a giant game of rock, paper, scissors, the variety of attacks and spells with the custom monsters could be kind of fun.
And you know what's cool is that Teddy Software is – it's a 3D modeling asset now for Unity.
Oh,
we can make a sequel.
That's kind of neat, though. So you could bring back the 2DX machine and the penis monster and put them in a Unity asset game, basically, is what you're saying.
Sure, you could totally do that. It's not expensive. It's like $30.
Just what I've always wanted. All right. Anyhow, let's see. Some of the characters from the game, Zoe and Taro, they showed up later in a game called Lost Magic on the Nintendo DS, which was also made by Taito. So it looked like they aged a bit. But that was Magic Pen Gel. So it was a lot of fun memories, especially if you go back to like early OLR. Because again, that game came out during the first or second year of OLR when we were doing 3 hours every week about literally nothing. we played this game a lot, and it was a good time. Many memories playing this game just because... Yeah. It was just silly to draw them. It was neat to draw them in a 2D space and see them 3D animated. That's what it was. It's like you could draw a 2DX machine. You could draw a boner. You could draw all sorts of things.
It would just be horribly animated.
It would be horribly animated in 3D, but it was so like bad it was funny type of thing. So, yeah. Anyway, Magic Pen Gel, I would consider it a cult classic, and that's our classic game of the week for sure. I love this game. Anyway, there it is. Good pick, Loki, that inspired me to throw it in the background. If you want to continue watching the game, Loki has it running behind him right now. Like I said, I can't imagine why I thought to do this as the classic game of the week. But I was like, surely that had been picked at some point. No. All righty then. There we go. We'll do it tonight. We'll do it live. All right, moving on. Let's get into some rapid fire news and quickly talk about some other headlines around the industry. We'll start with Loki. I'll take the one that Jamie had, so I'll take her story. You can do the other two, Loki.
All right. So the Steam Deck can now officially run a ton more games than, of course, when it launched. So I think when it launched, it was about 400 games or so that were playable. Now they're almost up to 2,500 games that are playable, and then they verified it looks like about like 1200 of those that are, you know, able to run, I guess, really well on the Steam Deck. 1289 games are fully verified, and they said a further 1169 are playable. Not sure what exactly the difference between playable and verified mean. I guess just how well they run.
Maybe like graphical bugs, skipping, audio hiccups, like just probably.
I think, yeah, probably performance just with like issues, the chip that's on there, the APU and stuff. So, but yeah, that's cool. Let's see that a lot more are compatible now. So, yeah, I mean, everyone's pretty excited about the Steam Deck. So,
yeah, but the early stuff I've heard is pretty good. I'm getting to the point where I think I kind of want one, but now I'm just going to hold off and wait and see if Valve refreshes the hardware in it. It's still really hard to get, obviously, as you know, there's still shortages and stuff. But I think at some point, you know, we had the story last week about how some of that is easing up. And I'll wait to see when Valve does the inevitable refresh of the Steam Deck and kind of beefs up what's inside it. Then maybe I'll try to get one.
Yeah. So Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is now officially the highest grossing movie adaptation of a video game franchise at the U.S. Wow. box office. They've reached $331 million, whereas the previous movie was $319 million. So they, which is pretty good considering that the $319 million, I mean, I don't know what that necessarily means as far as this movie, but like it made $319 million during 2020, which, you know, when movie theaters were closed.
Oh, yeah. There were so many movie theaters that for like an entire year still had Sonic the Hedgehog movie posters up because that was the big movie that came out the weekend before everything shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good movie. Both are good movies.
Yeah. How much would the first one have made if COVID didn't happen the way it did? That's a very yeah, with that. But it's hard to say. Sequels almost always, you know, for big AAA franchises, sequels almost always outgross the original, which is why the bar for this new Avatar, which I guess there's a teaser trailer that's been shown.
I did not see it. Yeah,
I've only seen like the reaction online and stuff. So I don't know if it just showed in random theaters or what, or at a festival.
Yeah, it was supposed to be before Doctor Strange, but I went to the bathroom right before the movie. Well, like, because typically at the movie theater, and I was shocked, typically the movie times that they give you is like practically when they start rolling trailers. But ironically, this time the movie started at the movie time. And So the trailers were actually earlier. So I missed like a trailer or two. But who cares? It's Avatar. It's like way too late for a sequel for that, but whatever.
Hi, Cheddar. Cheddar's here. Hi. Cheddar does not like being picked up. Okay, bye, Cheddar. Anyway, but y'all wanted me to get Cheddar on stream during OLR at some point, so there you go. Anyway, yeah, so Bobby says that he saw the trailer before Strange. All right, so I thought, because you would think it would be all over Twitter by now, like leaks of the trailer and stuff, but yeah.
They would just, you know, upload it to YouTube, like, yeah, normal movie studios do.
But I was just saying the bar for that one is going to be incredibly high. But anyway, many folks in chat are saying Cheddar did not look pleased. No, he doesn't really love getting picked up. I did that for y'all because I promised I'd put Cheddar on stream at some point. So, all right. If I put his little toy on that table back there, he might get up on that. So we'll see. I'll try that again later. Anyway, what else was I going to say with that? Oh, I was just surprised, honestly, that Sonic 2 is like the biggest video game movie. But then I'm like, well, I guess really what else would there have been, right? Like either it came out in the 90s and there's been inflation since the 90s, but there hasn't been a lot recently that, like, you know, what, an Uwe Boll movie was going to make that kind of money? Ha ha.
Well, there is a Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, Detective
movie.
Pikachu. Yeah, yeah.
Detective Pikachu. Yeah. That did really well.
Yeah, it did do well. But not that well, not as well as Sonic.
I mean, honestly, there hasn't been a lot of video game franchise movies that have come out.
That have done a lot, yeah. So,
but
now
it's an article because it's slow.
Here's the other question. How long will Sonic 2 hold that crown? Because that Mario movie, I know it got bumped to 2023. And I'm sorry to make it a Mario versus Sonic thing, but let's be real. There's a lot of people that are going to see that Mario movie. A lot of people that are going to take their kids to see that Mario movie. Yeah. I think Sonic's probably going to get dethroned by Mario, which is hilarious to say.
Sure.
You gotta admit, there's a certain, I know we got, like, Tiger Claw is a huge Sonic fan in the chat, but you have to admit there's something funny about me saying Sonic's about to get kicked out, get his butt kicked by Mario. But I think it is still, you know, that's still a huge accomplishment for Sonic. Because honestly, I never would have thought the first movie would have done as well as it did. And I don't know if that, and that's no shade. It's just that video game movies don't tend to typically do that well. So it, you know, did great. Phoenix7726 says, Rob, there was a Uncharted movie a few months ago. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that ain't breaking any box office.
No, it is not. No, it is not. Orange Right says, how well did the Angry Birds movie do? Not 300 million well, but as
no
Rama
it
says,
didn't but those were actually pretty good. I like the first one. I've watched the first one several times. I have not watched the second one, but the first one was pretty good.
All right, in one other rapid fire news story here tonight, Jason talked about this in the intro tonight, but it's interesting. The gold plated Nintendo Wii, it's a one of a kind Nintendo Wii, is going up for auction. THQ, who, not the same THQ Nordic that exists today, because this was the THQ before they went bankrupt and had their name bought by THQ Nordic. So the old THQ made this 24 karat gold plated Wii, and they were intending to give it to Queen Elizabeth in 2009. The whole fucking thing was promotion for a flop game called Big Family Games. Anyone remember Big Family Games? We had any Big Family Games fans out there? You can probably tell by the title alone, it was that kind of Wii title. And there were shelves
full of them. It was like, Look, we're like Wii Sports 2. Please buy us. There's so many of them. So many of them.
Yeah, I would have thought it was Mario Party, but all right. See, but anyway.
Maybe we'll get a sequel to Big Family Games on the Switch. Ooh.
However, here's the funny part. It never actually got to the Queen because there is a very strict royal gift policy. Because who knows? Maybe they thought there'd be anthrax in that Wii or something. So they don't allow the Queen to get gifts like that. So it was returned to THQ. A collector got it from a studio contact in 2017. And now a Dutch collector named Don, who runs, I guess, console variations, is now putting this up for sale. Originally, Don tried to sell this on eBay in October 2021 for $300,000. However, eBay originally shut him down because that's too much money. So now the auction is up at Golden, which is a place that allows these type of things. Bidding is already up to $2,000. I want to actually 3, see what it's at. Is it 3,000 now?
But like they give you Big Family Games with it and ew.
Whoopee! Who wants to buy the gold-plated Wii so you can mod it?
I do. I want to mod it. I ain't paying for it.
Well, you know what it won't do? Load the Wii shop or have online multiplayer because those features are no longer available. Anyway, the whole thing's a big publicity stunt, but it's an actual gold-plated Wii. I guess it works. So there's that.
And the gold plating's chipping off of it. Ooh, that looks so great.
Dark Sakura still hanging out in our chat and lending her endless wit, saying Golden Wii is a sign of dehydration. We'll leave it at that. SSGO 100 Matt points out this title, the Big Family Games, this gets localized, but not President Cat. Don't get me started.
Well, to be fair, Big Family Games was probably in English, so it'd take nothing to localize it, but yes.
Yes.
It's a terrible game.
What's Mother 3's excuse? Happy Mother's Day. All right. By the way, can I just say, you know, again, Reggie Fils-Aimé doing this whole book tour. So, of course, everyone's asking him about Mother 3. And now he's posting tongue-in-cheek tweets about the whole thing. Reggie, you're great. I've been enjoying the interviews I've been seeing with you in it. I really can't wait to read your book. I really admire you, Reggie, and what you've done for the industry. Please just shut up about Mother 3. You're just pouring salt in the wound. Please just shut up about Mother 3. Just say it didn't happen. So not everything happens in the end. Now shut up and move on. Just please, for all of our sake. And people, the rest of the industry, stop asking him about it. He doesn't work for Nintendo anymore. Stop asking him what happened. It didn't happen. Moving on. Let's talk about some games that will come out, unlike Mother 3. In a segment called World Release Dates. Let's start with the U.S., Loki.
We have Ayuden Chronicles Rising on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Salt and Sacrifice on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. We Were Here Forever on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Let's see. Brigadine, The Legend of Runezia. I don't know. That's going to be out on PC. And then we have the Centennial Case, a Shinjima story on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5. And last but not least, Evil Dead, the game on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series.
All right. Let's go over to Japan and check out the releases there. So coming out in Japan this week on the Nintendo Switch, Gold Week was this last week. So now we're getting into releases again. So May 12th, we'll see on Nintendo Switch, The Centennial Case, a Shizima story is out this week. And Dead by Daylight gets a release on Nintendo Switch. I think that was already out in Japan, but they're getting an Ultimate Edition. And I was like, well, what's all in the Ultimate Edition? And I noticed Oni is on the cover. So, okay, that one's there. But then as I look at the list of DLC, there's 13 pieces of DLC, including Portrait of a Murder, which is pretty recent. That's the artist, all included with it. So that's pretty impressive. That's a a lot of stuff for basically what is otherwise a standard price Nintendo Switch game. So, yeah, pretty interesting deal there. So that is out in Japan this week. Moving over to the PlayStation 5, same thing. You get Dead by Daylight is also out in Japan on the PlayStation 5, as is the Centennial Case. Yeah, that's it. Let's go over to the UK. Do you have that available, Loki, or...
Yeah, not a whole lot coming out there. So we've got Tourist Bus Simulator. That's going to be coming out on PlayStation. Evil Dead the Game on PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. And Let's Get Fit on the Switch. That's it.
Dark Soccer is pointing out DBD is super huge in Japan. Yeah, I think it's actually, it's been growing in relatively recently over there. So that's kind of interesting. SG100 Matt says the Evil Dead the game looks fun, by the way, also very Sam Raimi. I'd like to check that game out. I'll watch people play it on Twitch and see if it's for me or not. So all right, we have just a few more stories for you, and then we'll invite your calls and your emails. I know we have at least one email tonight, and whatever else, your chat comments in our listener roundtable. But first, let's get to some more stories. Loki, I think you have one for us.
Yeah, Hayden Blackman is apparently leaving Hangar 13 Studio, which was the studio that created Mafia 3. And, you know, with that, even though he is leaving, they are going to be continuing on with a new Mafia game that'll be coming out at some point, I guess.
Whenever it's done.
Whenever it's done, yeah. So
we haven't had a new one of those in a while, right?
Mafia 3 was... didn't come out very... Yeah, that was a while ago.
That was a while ago at this point, yeah.
But they're saying, though, that the new Mafia game that was expected to be made in the Unreal Engine 5 instead of the Mafia 3 engine. So, I mean, Unreal 5 looks pretty awesome. So, cool. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
And then I play it because I don't play any of the Mafia games.
Well, let's talk
but
about...
But it will look cool.
I got this story. This next story JB was going to do, but I'll talk about it. Let's talk about another game nobody is interested in playing, apparently. And that's Babylon's Fall. Man, the news just gets worse and worse for this game. I got to admit, I had a curious eye on this game at first because I heard about the Final Fantasy 14 assets being used and so forth. And then I heard about the cash-in, the cash-in, the cash-in. They were so desperate to make this a live service game that they could keep cashing in on after that initial $60 fee, that boy, that whole thing really shot him in the foot. Even though Platinum Games usually makes platinum titles, this one, wow. In fact, a lot of news sites are running with this headline: it's down to one concurrent player. Well, here's the thing. You know, those concurrent player counts are a snapshot in time, and somebody caught on Steam charts that there was one player playing it on Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. May the 4th was not with Babylon's Fall, because one person was playing it and they probably just left their computer on or something in the middle of the night at some point. But it's, you know, it's noon somewhere in the world. So, yeah, that's not a great look for this game. Of course, we had already talked about a story not that long ago where it was only like 1,000 people, if that, were playing it like when the game came out. So, yike. And, you know, they kept promising they're going to try to make improvements, but we're not seeing them yet. But Platinum Games is saying there is no plans to scale back the development of Babylon's Fall. I think if they want this game to have a chance, they're going to have to fall the price to free. And that's it. That's the do or die moment for this game. Fall the price to free, or this game is done. And you all are wasting your fucking time. But that's just my perception on that. Loki, I don't know. Any interest at all in Babylon's Fall?
No, none at all.
I'd check it out if it was free. Platinum Games is great. I'd check it out.
Wouldn't even do that.
Yeah. All right. They probably have more than one player, that's for sure. Loki, what do you got for us next?
I had to check and see what year it was, because we're getting reports that Nintendo Switch Sports fans, it's TV smashing time. So folks aren't following the constant reminders to put wrist straps on and are throwing their Nintendo Switch controllers into the screens. Joy-Cons are taking flight and smashing into screens.
What happens if you only have a Switch Lite? Do you accidentally throw your entire Switch because you don't have.
I don't know if you can play that game on the Switch Lite, to be honest.
I heard,
but yes,
it's limited. Like there's only certain games you can play, and it's limited. I would think you could just get a second pair of independent Joy-Cons and pair them to the Switch Lite and play them that way. I would think.
Yes. In that case, you'd have to do a combo with that. You would throw your loose Joy-Cons into
the
screen
Switch Lite,
of the
then
Switch
fall
Lite,
back
which
on
then,
your TV.
Exactly. So it's a little bit it's a little bit more challenging, but if you're up for the challenge, then you could break everything.
All right. E3VL in chat says it only works tabletop on single player, cannot play multiplayer. All right. Lastly, I'm sorry, I thought this headline was too funny, even though I will fully admit I've never really played this game, but I've heard the jokes over the years about how EVE Online is basically a spreadsheet simulator. Well, I'll be damned. I think this is so funny. So there's actually, you know, there's enough people that play this game. I haven't played it, but it's still a fairly popular online game. It's got its fans, and they have this EVE Fan Fest that they do. Well, at the Fan Fest, they announced they reached out to Microsoft, and there is now an official extension that will pull data from EVE Online and automatically put it into an Excel spreadsheet. So an official Microsoft collaboration, a Microsoft Excel add-on for EVE Online. And the crowd, as you would expect, went fucking nuts. And they were very, because, you know, they're all in on the joke. So they went nuts. And people tweeting, this is the best update that EVE has ever done. So an early prototype of this was shown. And more details are coming out later this year. And that's pretty awesome. Also, of course, there was more announced at FanFest, not just Excel. Can you imagine if you went? Can you imagine going to BlizzCon? And the big announcement is now
NFTs.
We're gonna work with PowerPoint. That's the big announcement. Of course, that would still be a better year than the year they announced the Diablo mobile phone game. Don't you all have phones? Which is finally coming out in June. Exciting, right? And then apparently, I know we didn't talk about it on the show because we don't talk about current topics, but I will just say they did announce something else. It looks like trash. I'm sorry. It looks like such trash. Yikes. I'm sorry. I can't help it. All right. Anyhow. But Microsoft Excel, I'm all for that kind of collaboration. Bobby Blackwolf says CCP has that kind of humor too, so it fits. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to, I think that was it for stories, right? So now we're ready to talk to our listeners in the listener roundtable. If you would like to give us a call, you can join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. That's vognetwork.com/discord. And if you had to head to the green room, we'll take some of your calls on the show. But I know we had at least one email, because we always invite your emails as well, because I know people listen to us on the podcast feed, available in all your favorite podcast apps. And so some of you will send emails throughout the week. Sorry, I'm buying time because I'm not logged into the email bag currently. But I know I saw at least one come in earlier, and it's from somebody who actually calls us quite a bit. We have an email tonight from Rama. Participate at orangelaundry.com if you want to send us an email for a future week. Rama writes in and says, greetings, one and all. I hope that the weekend has been eventful for you all. A couple of things and I'll be on my way. Number one, is there a game that you started playing that at first you thought was mediocre, but as you played more of it, you ended up falling in love with the game? For example, I bought Persona 5 for a friend to play and stream. At first, when she started playing, it was all right to her, and she wasn't sure that she'd continue. But 1 year and 300 plus hours later, she ended up loving the game, the lore, the characters, everything with it. Yes, and I've mentioned this one on the show before, and you're going to say, oh, of course, but my answer to this is easy. Mass Effect would be it. Because the first time I played Mass Effect, I didn't get it. I was just like, oh, this is just shooty, shooty, bang, bang. I don't think I'm into this. Whatever. This is just, yeah, I don't like RPGs unless they're JRPGs. I don't really want to play this anymore. And then I went back years later, to check out the entire trilogy, and I fell in love with it. And I love the original trilogy, and it's, you know, obviously, as you all know, some of my favorite games that have ever been made. So that's my easy answer. I mean, and I think you all saw it coming. Loki, is there one for you?
I can't think of anything offhand. Maybe, I mean, I don't know. It wasn't necessarily mediocre, but like, I know Minecraft originally, like when it first came out, I didn't get it. And
you know what? Me too.
So
me
I didn't
too.
Play it, but like, I didn't, it wasn't that I played it and went, eh, this is all right. You know, like once I played, I was like, oh man, this is awesome. You know, like, so there was never like kind of a mediocre point to that, but yeah, I can't really think of anything. I mean, I'm sure there's something.
The other one that's obvious for me is No Man's Sky. You know, I never shut up about that game here on the show. I love that game now. But the difference there is that, and we all know this, No Man's Sky today in 2021, 17 patches later, is not the same game that originally was released. So it's not quite a fair game to use as an answer to that, I think. Some answers from our chat. SS2100 Matt says Undertale for me. Let's see. Dark Sakura is still in chat, hanging out, saying Mass Effect, Dragon Age 2, and Dead by Daylight for me. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think if I played Dead by Daylight before Alan started watching all the Twitch streamers and I got into it that way. I don't think I ever did. I didn't even really play it until I watched Alan watching all the Twitch streamers. And I was like, all right, I'll try this. And then, well, Alan was playing it too. And I was like, all right, I'll try this. And then I turned out I really liked it. Dark Sakura says, wow, World of Warcraft as well. Like for her, it wasn't until Cataclysm that it got good and then it got crap again. Yeah. Yeah, WoW was one of those games like I would kind of go back and forth with too. Like I started it, then I went away, then I started again, and all that stuff. So, all right. Back to Rama's email. Number two. This is a follow-up to my call from 2 weeks ago. As of May 2nd, I am no longer a contract employee for the company I work for. I am now a full-time employee with the benefits the company has to offer. For that, I'm very thankful and appreciative. As I said before, being a contract employee can suck because you don't get the full benefits and discounts the company has to offer. But if you wait it out, work hard, and if you're lucky enough, you'll be in. For the record, during my tenure as a contract employee for NBC, Fresh Direct, and a couple other places, I've seen temps quit and go on to greener pastures. I stayed because I felt appreciated for the work that I did and the pay wasn't bad. Take care. Stay fabulous, Rama. Well, congratulations, Rama. Big hearty congratulations. You did it. You earned it. And I can't think of anyone more deserving, personally. So very happy for you, Rama. Congratulations on that. Loki, I think that was the week you were off for your surgery, but that was the week that the Nintendo thing was in the headline about the contract workers and all that and how Nintendo was treating contract workers. Was
No, I was there.
Oh, were you? I can't remember who was here what
well,
week.
Yeah, either that or I can listen to it. I don't remember.
You might have
No, it was the week I was out, but I was listening to the show. That's right. That's why I remember that.
So Rama called in and then talked about, oh, I have a unique perspective on this, and then talked about how, you know, that. So it's that's a lovely follow-up. So congratulations. It's wonderful. So, yeah. Yay. Everybody's giving applause. And clap emojis. Yay, yay. We're happy for DJ Rama S. Congratulations. You did the thing. That's it for emails. If you want to send us an email for a future week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. I am looking in the green room. I don't see anyone. Dark Soccer wants to clarify. She's in chat because she's still, her head is fine when she's not trying to be on camera. So like she can like lie down and be on the keyboard and all that stuff or whatever, like be in a different configuration. So she's able to let her migraine chill out in chat and not have the focus on. So we're glad she's still there in chat. I don't have anything else. Do you have any last minute stories, Loki?
I was trying to find something, but no.
I think it was Gold Week in Japan. So it actually was a slower news week. I mean, we still had a show full of stories, but believe it or not, I think at this point we're kind of in that whole little waiting period until
it's the quiet E3, before the non-E3.
The non-E3, but now it's going to be summer. Summer. What? Oh, my God. My watch suddenly was like, here's everything you want to know about E3. They're dead, Siri. They're dead. Ooh. Siri came on again and was like, who's dead? Anyway, how about you all in chat? Do you have any topics you'd like us to discuss? You know what? Whatever is fair game tonight. Whatever you want to ask us about is fair game tonight. Yeah, Bobby Blackwell was like, Siri's like, are you dead? I will make a call. No, I'm fine. I'm alive. Dark Tissia says, you got to stop doing that. I never use Siri on the watch. I'll use it on the phone, especially in my car, because I don't want to use, you know, while I'm driving. I'll say, like, give me directions to so-and-so, but that's it. I also use it a lot to say, set a reminder to do this, because it's so much easier than going in and trying to actually set it on the calendar. So there's that. Bobby Blackwolf says, look at the Summer Games Done Quick schedule and see all the rhythm games. Okay, so where are we going? Games Done Quick. Oh, how about that? It's like the first search result there. Games Done Quick schedule. All right, let's take a peek at this and see what we get. Let's go there. Let's see. Oh, I didn't know they already had like all of the hosts were assigned stuff. Gosh. Okay. Let's see. Oh, they're running Mass Effect. That's cool. Okay. The original. I'm seeing. So they said, look, Bobby says, look how, yay, Blaster Master. Sorry. I'm looking at all these games. They said, oh my gosh, so many good ones on the NES. Let's see. Where are all the music games? I imagine they put them in a big block somewhere. Oh, they haven't put who's announcing the games, just who's running them. Because I'm like, I know Bobby and Froob have worked together for like five of these now. I know Bobby's going to do this one unless there's something real wild happens. So Thursday night is what Bobby says to look at. Oh, King's Quest V. Yay. let's see. There's Stepmania, not ITG. Sound Voltex. Wow, that must be more of an expedition type of game. That's interesting. That's kind of neat. Yeah, Stepmania, not ITG, should be fun. Interesting, a couples exhibition, and that's going to be in person. Wow. Are they doing any mixing? Poppy Playtime. Well, are they doing any mixing of the like hybrid stuff like some people had theorized could happen, is that they would actually mix the stuff like when they needed to do a set change? Okay, yeah, part of these are remote. Okay, that's what I thought. See, that's, I think that's a smart thing for Summer Games So Quick to do, is that and Awesome Games, is do when they have a big set change in person to run some of the remote stuff. That's great. Awesome. So that's a good schedule. That should be fun. All right, that
I like
would
be good. Yeah, like I have to check out the VR stuff. Like they have Half-Life Alyx and Super Hot VR. Looks pretty cool.
Didn't they do a Half-Life Alyx run last time? Well, they did.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get all their like stuff through YouTube, and they do like a bunch of different runs throughout the year outside of Summer Games and Awesome Games.
Mike Deft points out Elden Ring is the closing game this year. That tracks, because it's new and it's very popular, especially on the streaming services. That's gonna be a good one to close with. I'm not surprised at that at all. You know, obviously we're past the days of like Super Metroid always being the closer or something along those lines. So yeah, I'm not too surprised with Elden Ring.
It's only so many times you can do Super Metroid.
Well, and then there was the incident that one year, and ever since then, you know, they started saying, do we have to do this as the closer every time? And it turns out the answer is no. It still is a successful marathon even when you run other games as the closing game. So, all right.
I do like the randomizer race, or like the races that they do and like randomizer stuff. Those are fun.
Yeah, I like those too. Those are fun. All right. Well, that's going to bring us to a close for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you all so much for tuning into our show tonight. We really appreciate it. If you enjoyed what you heard here, help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if we don't have the voices here, we can't put them out on air. So tell a friend or two about the show. Share on social media. A 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you found this podcast goes an awful long way. We really appreciate all of it for sure.
They are doing one, a relay race for Super Mario Maker 2. I'm definitely going to watch that. It's going to be awesome.
That's awesome. If you want to join the Discord and continue the conversation throughout the week, vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com/Discord. We hope to see you there. In-person appearance coming up at Dragon Con again this year. So check that out. And there might be something coming up here locally. I'll have to talk to you off air about that, Loki, with Dark Sakura, because I got an interesting email. So I'll message you about that. So other than that, that's it. I don't know what else to say. It's final thought time. Loki, do you have a final thought tonight?
I have to check out what this Kaizo Super Metroid run is going to be, too, because I like Kaizo Mario stuff. So Kaizo Super Metroid will be insane, I'm sure.
Yeah, my final thought is I need to get into randomizers. Like, I've always wanted to play a Zelda randomizer or a Metroid randomizer and get into some of the logic that comes with running those, because you have to, you know, there's a lot of thinking about this before this and this. I've wanted to get into those. I've just never really made the time for it, and I definitely need to make the time for that. So, yes, I will do that. That's it. We hope to see you again next week. We'll be back. Believe it or not, we're almost on the 20th anniversary, end of June. This show is 20 years old, if you can believe it. And we have no idea what special thing we're doing yet, because that's how we roll here at OLR. Have a wonderful night, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days to do it all again. And hopefully the gang is able to all get back together next time. Again, a happy Mother's Day to all the moms and motherly figures out there and gamer mommies. And I hope you all have a wonderful week. Take care, everybody. Have a good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VogNetwork, but you know they were all still true.